why Christians experience it and why they do not. And when a very important part of the study dealing with the aspect of stress, anxiety, and depression that we are aware of every day, that people that deal with stress, anxiety, and depression, the difficulty of walking by faith, the difficulty of maintaining faith, and why stress seems to be involuntary and depression seems to be involuntary, but as we have well noted, they are not. They are voluntary. We choose to be depressed. We choose to be in anxiety. We choose to be stressed. And we've seen why. But it does seem like it's involuntary, and the reason it does is because of the seven-headed dragon of the soul that we've been studying. And now we're looking at another reason for this, and it deals with what Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul talks about the strongholds of the soul. And what we need to ask ourselves is, how did they get there? Where do these strongholds come from? And then Paul has told us how we're going to tear them down. Now, he doesn't deal with it specifically how they got there. That's what we're going to look at. But we, first of all, need to approach the throne of grace so that God the Holy Spirit can open our eyes and our ears as to the things going on in Scripture. As we've seen so many times, the world has its solutions, God has His. They're never the same. So we need to find out what God's solution is to the stress, the anxiety, and the depression. Let's begin with the word of prayer. What's the purpose of the prayer? Committing ourselves to the Spirit of the living God, that He can open our eyes and our ears to the things that He would have us to see and hear. Let's pray. How perfect is Your word, Father, if we will allow Your Spirit to open our eyes and our ears to it, to what is being said, not what we think is being said or we'd like to have been said. Even to the point, Heavenly Father, of our daily lives and the experiencing of stress and depression. Father, we sometimes think, oh, the modern world contributes to a great deal of stress and depression, yet we can read 4,000 years ago, and Job's soul was crushed by his three friends. Great depression to the point that he wished he was dead. It has nothing to do with the world we live in, Heavenly Father. It has to do with what's going on in our soul. We choose these things. And so, Father, we pray now that Your Spirit will open our ears and our eyes to how to tear down these fortresses and see what these fortresses are that caused this, that we might enjoy each day, that we might enjoy, Heavenly Father, even adversity, calamity, circumstances, Heavenly Father, that would normally bring a person to building their mind to be stressed and depressed, their marriage and their finances. Pray, Father, Your Spirit will open our eyes to these things in Christ's name. Amen. What I want to get right into tonight are the three sources of strongholds of the soul. In other words, we're going to deal with three sources of the strongholds are the building of the strongholds that are going on inside of our soul. Now, the first of these strongholds is the world. It's the world, the cosmic system, the flesh, and the devil. Now, I want to talk about, just get to it in introducing it, the world. Think about this now. Where do these strongholds come from? The world into which you and I were born. We're born into this world, and it's going to be a source of building these strongholds. The flesh nature of our birth into this world, and then the devil, the arch enemy of God Himself. These are the sources of strongholds in the soul. But please realize that all three function and work off of Satan's lie. And why not? He is the ruler of the cosmos. He is has us in the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom, His kingdom. When we're born into the world, we're born into the kingdom of darkness, and therefore the control of the flesh. So they're built off of Satan's lie. Again, what is Satan's lie? You can never really hear it enough to just remember. Satan's lie is my self-worth is my performance plus others' opinion of me. which is supported by the Bible. It's supported by the Mosaic Law. It is seen from Genesis, the first few chapters of Genesis, all the way through the Bible if we want to see it. It's all through the Bible, I guess. And so, all of these operate under that. The world operates under Satan's lie. The flesh operates under Satan's lie. And of course, Satan, the founder of Satan's lie, also uses it. Now, the first source of strongholds, that is the world. Think about this as we're thinking about and looking at strongholds of the soul that lead to stress, anxiety, and depression, and that cut off us from living by faith on a daily basis. We're born into the world. So, of course, it is going to build strongholds on us, or actually in us. Right from birth, we have a continuous, ongoing building up in our souls. Building up of experiences, thoughts, wisdom, things that happen, and interpreting all of these things. All these things are all ongoing. Our perception and interpretation that determine our action, determine our thought. And I'm going to deal with this later under a stronghold, but just again to say it here. Please remember that it is not your experiences that is an issue. It's your interpretation of them. And that is so crucial. So crucial. Every time I read about, and I'm so sorry it's in the front pages or the papers and all through the news, but the Roman Catholics, these little boys that are molested by priests, and I read even Protestant, well-renowned preachers on the radio and television and books and all, all these little children are ruined for life and what they've done to their soul. People, that's a lie. That's the view of God. If you say these little boys, little girls are ruined for life, that's your view of God. My view of God is that God cannot overcome that. That's not the view of what happened to him. You got your mind oriented to that, but that's not what you're talking about. It's your view of God. There's nothing that God can really do. Well, that's not true. And that's what I want to deal with. That's a stronghold. That is a stronghold. I am doomed because I was raped when I was a little boy or a little girl. That's a stronghold. That's the way you start thinking. And there's nothing I can do about it. And now you have a built-in excuse for all depression, everything that happens to you. It's all built in now. It's all my fault. This is one of the things I learned, and I shared this with you after reading an article on it in the Roman Catholic Church and dealing with the idea of confessing. A lot of these people, as they would become adults, are still trying to confess and still seeking freedom by their confession. And what are they confessing? They've done nothing wrong. But the church has said, confess. And they've done nothing wrong. There's no recovery. There's nothing from it. Just more burden, more pressure, more stress, more depression over what happened. So it's a continuous thing. Our homes, childhood, love in our homes, or the lack of it, or the kind of love that was given. In other words, you got it by performance, or it was a non-touch, or this, or that, whatever it was, whatever your view, whatever happened as you started growing, starts forming your stronghold, built from the world, of your view of love, and the lack of it. The understanding of what love is and is not. The environment, our friends, peers, all the rejections, why we were rejected, how to deal with it, our exposure. Young people today are exposed to so much that when I was a youth, we were not exposed to. But all of these things are from the world, and they go into building up the strongholds. People, these things in and of themselves, while we can say over here they're bad, if we want to talk about right and bad and right and good and all that, but as far as the soul is concerned, they do not have to have the adverse effect. They do not have to. But we allow them to do this by our interpretation of them. Even our physical appearance, physical abilities, and the meaning of these things, our IQ, our molding of our personality, our personal identity, our personal self-worth. These are all formed from being in the cosmic system, which is built on Satan's lie. Now, quickly add to that that the strongholds built by the flesh. We are born into this world with this flesh. Now, there's just so many ways. If I wanted to write a 5-volume book, and I thought about doing this but then dropped it, but we could go through and remember the 5 things that we studied. I want you to understand, especially those of you that really experience stress, anxiety, and depression that are listening to these tapes, how did I get into this mess? How did I get so depressed with life and so despondent? Man, I wanted this out of life. I wanted that out of life. I wanted my marriage. I wanted work. I wanted even the spiritual things, and doggone it, nothing is there. How did I get to this point? Well, all these strongholds are being built up in your soul for a very long time. Now, remember, when we come to the flesh, remember what's building these strongholds. One, continuously, we saw this in Ephesians, continuously being corrupted. And I thought about doing a stronghold from each one of these, but I'm not going to do that. The second thing that we saw is these are 5 things described about the flesh nature. Now, if you ever run across another one that actually describes flesh nature, let me know. But our flesh nature is continually being corrupted. And then secondly, it is deceitful above all else. And I wanted to build a stronghold on deception and talk about how that works. Then third, we saw incurably wounded or incurably sick, whichever way you want to look at it. Incurably wounded comes from Genesis, where we coming out of the garden of sin, incurably wounded or incurably sick. Incurably. And then four, building a stronghold out of this, being incurable. And then four, we saw that this flesh nature is full of evil, the stronghold of evil. And then 5, we saw, and the one I love, I guess, the best, insane. Our flesh nature is said to be insane, divorced of reality of who we are in Christ. Divorced of reality, because that's what an insane person is. Cannot handle, deal with, or understand, or relate to reality. So we are insane. And all of these things, dear people, are building up these strongholds in our souls. So the flesh becomes so powerful. The stronghold really starts kicking in, being built now. We enter the world, we enter it corrupt, we enter it deceitful, incurably wounded, evil, insane, and from this is the building material of a stronghold in your soul. So lots of luck. No wonder we are where we are. Now, you can just see why stress, anxiety, and depression are going to come from these things, and why it's going to be so difficult to battle the battle of faith. Paul says the battle is not being good. The battle is not learning Bible doctrine. The battle is faith. Will you simply trust him? No, I can't do that. And the reason that we have so much trouble is from what we have on the board, the strongholds that are built. Now let's quickly add to that the devil. And it is sure nice to just deny, as a lot of people do, they just deny the existence of the Satan. They deny, Christians deny his interplay in the whole spiritual warfare through the Bible. And it's fun to just deny it. It's like denying there's no problem in your marriage. That's why a lot of people, no, there's no problem in our marriage. If I say that and believe that, what am I saying? Then I don't have to do anything. If I can hear my ears saying, yes, our marriage has a problem, then I'm admitting I got to do something. Oh, my children are okay. There's no problem with our children. My children are fine. When I say that, then I don't have to deal with anything. See, so if there's no Satan, I don't have to deal with it. If he doesn't exist, if he's not an arch enemy, then I don't have to deal with it. You make total fun of it. The world doesn't even know it. Got this idea. Back a long time ago, there was an entertainer, a comedian, Flip Wilson, who did a Geraldine, who always said the devil made her do it. The devil made her do this, and the devil made her do that. Well, we don't go to the extent of blaming the devil for everything because we make the decision in our soul, but he has a network. He does have a network keeping us from just simply trusting God. The super creature does indeed exist. and it has a great network that involves all of these and other things that we will study. Now let's go back and look at the world a moment. The world is a cosmic system with all its things to do, to have, to lust after, to build your self-esteem on. Remember, Satan's lie now is my self-worth equals or is made up of my performance. My performance plus others' opinion of me, especially certain other people's opinion of me. Now think about that, because that's the basis of the whole world. That's the basis of Adam and Eve in the garden. It started from the beginning. It's the basis of the law. What God said, oh, if you do real good, if you really perform, then I'll give you the land. If you do this, then I'll do that. That's why God gave the law, and that's what people think God is. If you will do this, then I will do that. That's the view of God. Because it fits Satan's lie. This sounds like the supreme logic. People, what logic is there? In the ideal of human logic, Aristotelian human logic, Socrates, Plato, you take logic in college, just from the standpoint of logic, what logic is there? Just trust me. I will do it all. No logic to that. There's no logic to Christ dying on the cross for the world. Ayn Rand rejected Christianity from that basis alone. I know if you know who Ayn Rand was, she's a thinker in the cosmic world system, and she analyzed it and thought her way through it and came to a logical conclusion. That's a farce. That doesn't make logical sense. And it doesn't. That's why Paul says in 1 Corinthians what? Foolishness to the Greek mind. Foolishness to Aristotelian thinking, Plato thinking, Socrates thinking, mental thinking of man, cosmic thinking of the world. That's foolishness to them. That God would be man and die. So, we have all of this building up against just trusting Him, building up in our soul. When you build your self-worth on the world, when you start building a stronghold from the world, you build it on your performance. You build it on your accomplishments or the lack thereof and the need to keep performing. You're building it on the whole thing. Can you control your environment? Can you control everything so that you can perform? Man needs to be in control, not just your husband or your wife or your parents or your children. All of us need to be in control. Look at the flesh nature. My goodness, it's scared to death. It's got to be in control. The more that it can control, the more it can control all these horrible things that are happening to it. Continually being corrupted, deceitful above all else, incurably wounded, full of evil, insane. That's who and what you and I are. I want to be in control and stop it. And so all of this comes from living into Satan's lie in the cosmic world and the cosmos building these strongholds in your soul. And others' opinion of you from our childhood. People, how many of us in our childhood want to be thought well of by our friends? So these things start building up. You build it on your job. Later on in life, you start building it on your job. You build it on all these kinds of things. You build your self-worth from the way you look. And I don't know the place that that played. I know that it played a part because the Bible talks about certain people. David was very handsome. Bathsheba was very sexually beautiful, an erotic-looking woman. Jezebel, a very erotically looking woman. So we know that this has always been at play in regard to man and to woman and to building our self-worth built on these kinds of things. It's not a modern thing. Gems are not modern. They had them all through history. So you build your self-worth and deal with all of the dilemma that comes from all of these things. The world has its own morality. Another thing about the world, if you perform well in any of its norms and standards, you will feel good about yourself. This is why many people who are successful in one area or another in their profession and making money, they're successful in business and all these other things, very well satisfied. But total failure in other areas of their life. Total failure in other areas of their life. But they're satisfied with who and what they are in that one area, and that's all that they need to be worried about. That's what I am, is that. How I deal in personal relationships, for an example, isn't really an issue. how I deal with my wife or my children or my husband even isn't really an issue, because look at me, I am successful. Look at the money I make. Look at the achievements that I have. And total failure in other areas. All of this strongholds that are built that justify. Remember, you are deceitful above all else. So you deceive yourself into thinking that all these things are true and correct. True and correct. So it has its own system that is going to appeal. Now let's take a look at the flesh nature. Our flesh nature with all of its insecurities. We enter the world. People, we enter the world sensitive to criticism, sensitive to the complaints of others around us. Constant search to discover who we are, where we fit in to all of this. Take Job. Job finally reaches the point of an older man. I don't know how old he was, but we know that he had a wife and many children. And he had reached the point where everything just wasn't working out, and it didn't fit, and everything was up. So what did he say? God, I cursed the day I was born. Wish I had never been born. I wish that day had never occurred, or that night had never occurred. Darkness covered it up, and it never occurred in history. Extremely depressed as an adult. And we'll come to one of his strongholds that caused him that great trouble. The powerful stronghold in Christian souls, the stronghold of false doctrine. And we'll study it. We'll look at it a little later when we start looking at the actual strongholds of the soul. But I want you to be aware of the whole flesh nature and what it does. So we want to fit in. Some people in their flesh nature, as they start growing in this, they begin to fight everything. They want to fight all of these things about the flesh nature, fight the world system, fight everything, and that's the way they go into their life. Other people, just extreme, the other extreme, become very passive. They become very passive, just accepting it. Well, I'm no good. I'm a loser. I deserve it. I don't deserve it. All this kind of thing. Those are the two extremes, and most of us find ourselves in the flesh nature in between those, and we juggle those two between being aggressive and passive to where we can kind of fit in with our family and then our friends at school, our friends in life, and we learn just kind of adjust who and what. But people, do you see what's happened to you? You have been molded by the cosmic system. It's molded you. Satan's got a network in which he can push any button and cause you to go under stress, anxiety, and depression. He's molded us in the way that we think. We just started dealing with, well, this is the way I deal to get along with mom and dad, and then with my siblings or with my friends. And if we keep growing, we keep adjusting, and we keep manipulating, and we keep working. We're not formed by who and what God is and who we are in Christ. The world has actually molded in our flesh nature so that we can get through all of these kinds of things, all these experiences, learning, the failings, the passion, the hurts. They all start forming the stronghold in the soul. Great number of adults. Now, this is getting to an adult now. And this is what's so tragic. Not just today, people, but all through history. So many adults are afraid to try anything. Try to get out and work. Many are afraid to even try marriage. Having children. Taking off and doing, not letting the world control. So many are afraid. They believe they just can't measure up because they've been told they can't. Can't measure up. They were told by their parents, by a teacher, by a preacher. And so they grow up as an adult and they just exist in that framework. Believe they just can't do it. As children, they started building strongholds of their self-image from their teachers, from their parents, their teachers, and preachers. They start building a stronghold in the soul that is just going to give rise to stress, anxiety, and depression. These limitations and imperfections are used to build the strongholds in our soul that they start from our childhood, the very way we think. Now, think about what I'm getting ready to tell you. Many of our thoughts, and I could almost say most, but somebody would probably argue at some point, but so I'll say most of our thoughts are views about ourselves and our lives. Our thoughts and views about ourselves and about our own life are ours because we do not know of any other way of thinking. we don't know any other way of thinking. That, but in the cosmic world, in the flesh, we don't know of any. The church that we have been going to since we were little children, that our parents and grandparents and great-grandparents, we don't know of any other way to think. Well, we're going to tear down these strongholds, and we're going to build up some spiritual strongholds in our soul. But before we can ever build up the truth of who you are in Christ, we have to clear out something in your soul. Let's clear out these strongholds. Are correctly stated, we've got to allow God to clear out these strongholds that are in our soul. As a source of stronghold, the world is also built, and the flesh is built on Satan's lie, built on the dealings of the Satan using his great mechanism, his great network. And one of his primary things is, I'll flow this into the stronghold of a false doctrine, but one of his great ones, he uses religion. He uses the Mosaic law. He uses another gospel. And always remember, he goes to the Bible. This is what is so powerful in the strongholds that come in this area of religion. He goes to the Bible. The Bible can be seen to Satan's lie that my self-worth before God is my performance before God and the opinion of others. Religiously, spiritually. Christ himself said, how can you believe when you seek glory from one another? When you care so much about what somebody else is going to think about you. And people don't stand that. It's what crushed Job. And I'm telling you right now, many people never walk in truth because they're afraid of what others will think. They're afraid of what their friends will think. It's a powerful stronghold that keeps people from walking in truth. I'll say more about that and maybe even get personal in it. Maybe not. As a stronghold then, and seeing all this is built on Satan's lie, and the use of religion, another gospel that we studied in Galatians, another gospel, performance, blind us from the truth. This is what Satan keeps trying to do, blind you from the truth, blind you from who you really are in Christ, blind you from reality. Reality is not, people, that you were raped as a little child. Reality is not that you are deserving of punishment from God, you're not deserved to be loved. That's not truth, that's not reality. Reality is who you are in Christ. And for the series of stress, anxiety, and depression, we may go into the triangle study just to show you that where to live to be free of stress, anxiety, and depression as far as the triangle of the law and the triangle of the cross, right? The triangle of sin versus the triangle of the cross. We might have to look at that. Wherever Satan is, all his influence, people, is darkness. And it's in these darkness that he builds these strongholds. As you experience stress, anxiety, and depression, you even get more, you have that sense of darkness and heaviness. That's what depression does to us. It's that sense of darkness. You're rioting, you're living, you're existing in Satan's stronghold. You're living with Satan exactly where he wants you. He wants it to be heavy. He's not inside of you. Demons cannot get inside of a believer. But he has this network and this stronghold that he's been building, and he uses that. And what God the Holy Spirit is going to do, if we will allow him, remember we saw in verse 5 of 2 Corinthians 10 that God has given you the Holy Spirit. He's given you the Holy Spirit to tear them down. And what the Holy Spirit is going to do is destroy these fortresses. And people, please, I want to repeat this a lot because I want you people that are experiencing stress, anxiety, and depression, when you hear these things, it's not that difficult for these to be torn down. It takes a long time, but it's not that difficult because what God is going to do is start turning on the light. He's just going to turn on the light on the lie, and you're going to see, God, that's a lie. That's a lie. That's not who I am. And the more that we allow the Spirit to turn on the light of the truth and reveal the lie, then we're going to move out of the power of these strongholds and tear them down, and then you'll be ready to build up the truth. Let's talk for a moment about that. What the Bible calls salvation. I'm going to go to a new page. What the Bible calls salvation. Old Testament, New Testament. What the Bible calls salvation is simply God delivering us from some form of bondage. what we call, what the Bible deals with, the concept of salvation or deliverance are the same interpretation. Salvation is simply God, and I like the word simply here, but it is simply God. Now remember, God is doing this, not you. God delivering us, God delivering or saving us from what now, so that we'll understand it, delivering us from some form of bondage, delivering us from some, that will vary with the, what we're talking to discuss it, some form of bondage. Okay, this is what salvation is. When Lewis Berry Cooper opened my eyes to the concept of understanding what salvation was in the Bible, what all the deliverances are, and that it is God who is doing this, it started changing the scope and seeing of so many things that are going on in the Bible, like what we're studying right now. Man is in some form of bondage, and there is nothing that man can do about it. When you have God as the subject, delivering or saving a member of the human race, and that member of the human race, the unbeliever or believer, is in some form of bondage, and there's nothing that man can do about it. There's no action that man can do in an active sense. Using the word do, there's nothing that a man can do in an active sense, and that it is God who is going to have to save or deliver. All we can do is receive that salvation or that deliverance from that bondage by the work of God by means of faith. It's that simple. Let's talk about what we call salvation one. See how this fits. Those of you on taste may not be familiar with that designation. All I'm talking about here is eternal life salvation. We call it salvation one or eternal life salvation. What is this? It is simply the first stage of God setting us free from the bondage of the penalty of sin. Now, there are many different things related to that, but eternal salvation, eternal deliverance, is simply the first stage of God setting us free from the bondage of penalty of sin, releasing us. Salvation two, or what we call spiritual recovery, being delivered from sin, going from the darkness of sin and back into the light. This salvation, and it has to be viewed as a salvation. We're under the bondage of sin, this time the power of sin. Therefore, God is going to have to do the delivering. It is simply God simply delivering us, saving us from the power of sin. Now, I want to come back to that, but let me just complete this. What's salvation three? Salvation three is simply God freeing us, delivering us from the bondage of this old nature, this old body of ours, and we die and we go into heaven. That's the third salvation, if you recall in that study of the three salvations. It's simply, and it's called that in Peter. It's called a salvation. It's called a deliverance. We go out of this world into our eternal existence with Him. What a wonderful thing. When you're young and strong and vivacious, you don't really think about this bondage too much and deliverance from it. Well, I want to go to heaven, but not right now. I'll wait for another truckload to go. Not yet. But boy, you start getting old. I'm now dealing with my own mother and different people, and she just cries. I want to go home. This body is so limiting and confining and hurting, and she had a strong, wonderful, full of life, a fun life. I'm ready to go home. I'm ready to be what? Delivered from this bondage. God will do that. But what I want to do now tonight is there's another form of salvation and deliverance from God. It's destroying these strongholds. It's destroying these strongholds. Tearing them down is another salvation from God. Tearing down the strongholds of your soul from which comes stress, anxiety, and depression, if you will see this as a deliverance from and by God. That only God is doing this. It's a salvation. God is setting you free inside your soul so that you can be transformed into the image of Christ. What stops so many from being transformed into the image of Christ? People that see strongholds What causes us not to walk by faith constantly is these strongholds that are built up in our soul. We've got to tear them down. We've got to tear down this whole area so that we can walk by faith and put up a new edifice, put up a new stronghold, one that God is going to build. So, this is we want to see this as a work of God, because that's what verse 5 in our passage told us. Actually, verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful. This is God, the Holy Spirit, inside of us. It is a salvation deliverance. He delivers us from this by tearing down these strongholds inside of our soul. God alone is saving us or delivering us from the stronghold of the soul. It's His doing, people, not yours. All salvation is a work of God. By God, and we experience these salvations by means of grace, received simply by means of faith. And as I saw 2 weeks ago, the clear one of the most important lessons we did was about 2 weeks ago, I think it was, that can it be that easy? Can I actually tear down any strongholds in my soul and come out and be released from stress, anxiety, and depression by just trusting God? It's a view of God. There will be preachers who will tell you, no, you've got to do this, you've got to do that, you've got to do and do and do. And I'm telling you, what Scripture is showing to me, it's that easy. God can do it. How easy was it for you to be taken from one point and given eternal life and sent to your whole eternal destiny? One act of faith. Now, if one act of faith could do that, why didn't you think that you can trust God and battle through this battle that God can tear down these strongholds of the soul? It can be. It is that simple. Not easy, but it is that simple for God to do this. By removing the strongholds, God is saving you. Delivering you. Delivering you from these old ways of thinking that come from the world and the flesh, from your experiences and your false interpretations of them, from living under Satan's lie. He'll deliver you. He'll deliver you. He is setting you free so that you can now live by faith, because when you remove these things, it's easy to live by faith. And God can transform you into the image of His Son, who is in His image, by the way. He's in the image of God. So your difficulty in staying in FM, as we saw, your difficulty in staying in faith mindset, walking by faith, is in part the stronghold of the soul. In your mind. If you want to experience being transformed into the image of Christ, if you want to consistently experience walking by faith, if you desire to experience spiritual love in your life, then these strongholds are going to have to be destroyed. And God the Holy Spirit can do that. Okay. Next, let's identify, we just started with this tonight, let's identify some of the lofty things. Remember our passage? 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, we are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. Okay, let's take a look now. Let's identify some of these lofty thoughts placed above true knowledge of God. And we studied that a little bit. Can you imagine placing these things above the knowledge of God, what God says about you, but you place this above it? The simplest example, and I'm overdoing it, I guess, but it still communicates to me when I think about it, is the little girl, or the girl that has, the woman that has anorexia. She has placed her thought, her lofty thinking, above truth, above reality. She looks in the mirror, and that's reality. That's what I look like. The mirror isn't lying. That's what I look like. That's one thing I hate, is a mirror. I've learned to hate it. But if you look in the mirror, that's it. Boy, I mean, the defects are there, unless you've got a very dull light. But if you've got a bright light, you're looking in the mirror, that's who you are. She looks in the mirror, and she sees a very overweight girl. She doesn't weigh but about 89 pounds. But that's reality. People, we do the same thing spiritually. I really am this no-good person. I really am this unworthy person. I really am unworthy, undeserving of God. And that's why you're experiencing stress, anxiety, and depression. Oh, I can deal with the people that are arrogant. But they're not stressed, they're not stressed or depressed about it. They call stress and depression, but they're not stressed or depressed. I'm talking to people who experience stress and depression in the series. And you look at yourself and you just, I'm unworthy. I do not deserve for God to use me, God to love me, because all my friends have guaranteed me He doesn't. Just like Job's friends and life and just the circumstances, and I don't deserve it. I'm no good. I'm unrighteous. I'm impure. I'm not holy. And so, regardless of what the Bible says, it doesn't matter what God says about you. You look in the mirror, and that's what you see, and therefore you're depressed about it. When the truth of the matter is, you are holy, you are deserving, you are loved, and you're ready to be used by God. These are the truths. But you and I reject the truth. We reject it. So what am I saying here? What is this lofty thing? I'm placing this truth built on Satan's lie above the true knowledge of God. True knowledge of God is in Christ, you're holy. In Christ, you're worthy. In Christ, you're adequate. In Christ, you're loved. All these wonderful things about who you really are. Oh, no, I'm not those things. I'm this very overweight person. Can't you look in the mirror and see how horrible I am? No, because we want to start looking at the truth. What builds these strongholds? Okay. First, I guess the one of the strongest strongholds is the one built from our own experiences and interpretation of them. Let's start with that one. The one built from our own experiences and interpretations of them. Please don't ever just say experiences. You miss it. It is not just our experiences, but it's our interpretation of them. Again, to make my point as radically as I can, you're raped or abused as a child, but how you interpret this is vital to the stronghold of your soul. It's my fault. I did something to cause this to happen to me. I'm bad. I'm evil. I'm a loser. I'm doomed. I'll never amount to anything. Poor me. People, I'm not making light at all. I'm not saying that these are that horrible things to happen. Experiences are there. What I'm dealing with is how you deal with it, how you interpret it, how you interpret these things. Your parents, a lot of things do this. Your parents died while you were young. Your parents got a divorce. In our society today, this is building strongholds in children that is astronomical in its horribleness and the effect of it on children. And parents like to deny it. Nearly every parent that I've ever dealt with going through divorce, this isn't really going to have a great effect on our children because we love them. Because of this and because of that. Total denial. Total denial. I'm sorry. It affects this child. And we're in denial about it. Remember, your soul, is depressed nature is desperately real. I want what I want. And if I can deny this, then it makes it okay. But the truth is, it starts building a stronghold in the children and an understanding of love, an understanding in their mind, an interpretation of themselves. It's my fault my parents are getting this divorce. This is my view of love. And it starts building a stronghold about love, about marriages, about intimacy, and about all these kinds of things start being built up, about brokenness. And preachers encourage it. How do I say that? They may come down on divorce, so powerfully strong, but boy, if we don't like a president, let's impeach him and separate. We don't like this person, let's kick him out. We don't like that, let's kick him out. So you bring that down to your experiential life. Well, the preacher says when you don't like something that's really bad, you just separate it from it. That's the best solution. So, let's get a divorce. So without even realizing it, they're teaching this type of thing. It's the world solution. It's the world solution. So, experiences and the interpretation of them. Your parents are cruel, controlling. Love is by performance. Love is absent. You have to earn it. All these kinds of things starts building strongholds. And boy, is it true for the truth. Is it difficult for the truth of God's love to penetrate? Well, it's so difficult for some people to believe. God really loves me. I'm a sinner. Look what I just did. Oh, wretched man that I am. I don't deserve. Start looking at yourself in the flesh. What we want to do is tear down that stronghold and start seeing who you are in Christ. And watch the stress, anxiety, and depression just go into the shadows of our being. when we start dealing with the truth of who we are in Jesus Christ. You have no right, people. Now, let me reword that. That would have been all right. Not only do you not have a right to stress, anxiety, and depression, it just won't be there if you can start living who you really are in Christ. I promise, it just won't be there. Who I am in Christ changes the perspective. The Satan's lie has no control over you. Performance has no control. Opinion of others has no control. And I don't mean arrogantly, I don't care what people say. I don't care what anybody thinks about me. Generally, those people care the most. That arrogant, boastful said, I don't care what anybody thinks of me, very strong, generally those people are hurting the most. Such these experiences. Later in life, things happen to be this. Broken marriages, husband, wife, control, abuse, neglect, lost jobs, great failures, change in physical appearance, war. What happens to war? Well, boy, you people go to war. Some people never get over going to war. Some people come back and they just get right into it. The interpretation. The interpretation. Some people go to war and they kill and they interpret it and they move on. Other people go into war and kill and they interpret it a different way and it becomes the greatest burden the rest of their life and they never make it. The interpretation of experiences that happen. And that's what we want to do in understanding the truth of who we are in Jesus Christ. So, let's go to another stronghold. We got time. I want to cover this one. The stronghold of false doctrine. The stronghold, this stronghold of false doctrine has done more harm to Christians, in paraphrasing Casablanca, than all the gin joints in all the world. This stronghold has destroyed and hurt and caused more depression and more stress. False doctrine has actually caused them to go into all those gym joints all over the world. I didn't make it worded that way, but that's what's happened. Now, it wasn't the gym joints that caused the stress, anxiety, and depression to a lot of Christians. It's the false doctrine that drove them to all the gym joints in all the world. The local church, the place where Christians go often because they hurt. They go to the local church because they're in pain for help. In need of help, and the local church actually adds to stress, anxiety, and depression. It builds the strongholds in the soul. Many pastors talk about knowing Bible doctrine, knowing Scripture, knowing the truth, whatever their nomenclature may be, but upon examination, what they mean is their doctrine, their teaching, their denominational movement, whatever their denomination is. And then upon further examination, you will discover their doctrine, their teaching, their list is all built on Satan's lie. That's their interpretation of the whole Bible. It's Satan's lie, which does what? It just puts more and more burden and builds more and more strongholds. It's a very powerful stronghold of false doctrine inside of our soul. It's not just a matter that the answer is the Bible. That's not an effort. That's not enough. Well, it's great to have a pastor who believes that this book is the divinely inspired, inerrant, infallible Word of God. But that's not enough, because he may never see the truth. People I went through seminary studied, men who have written volumes to cover a whole bookcase of their own books on the study of the Bible and never came close to the truth, even for Salvation One. I studied them in seminary. Never saw the truth on even how to be saved by simple faith in Jesus Christ. And yet the whole life was spent in studying Bible doctrine, the Bible. It's not enough. In fact, I'm here to tell you that most churches throughout the history of the church have caused more depression and more stress, more anxiety than any other one thing. So these things, they start building it on Satan's lie, they see it, and it's there. That's what's beautiful about it. It is there in the Bible, from Genesis to the law through the whole Bible, if that's what you want to see. Know the phrase in Isaiah 28, a little here and a little there? That's what they do. A little here and a little there, and they build it all up, and here's your performance standard for God. To save you, to restore you, to bless you, to do whatever it is you want done. Here it is. Here's what you've got to do. Here's your performance standard. No, people, there's no performance standard except God. God's performance standard is the only one that matters. Job's three friends spoke speculations, spoke these speculations, these lofty things, that destroyed Job and perverted the truth of God. Remember, please bear in mind, and you're experiencing stress, anxiety, and depression, and you wonder why you're not getting any relief from the church that you're going to, and all these, and it just seems to be making you feel even worse. Let me remind you that out of the 42 chapters of Job, a multitude of those chapters are his three friends espousing their view of God, and it was so bad and so wrong, it burned his soul to where he cried out, "Why do you crush my soul with your words?" And what were their words? People, their words were not damning God. Their reports were not, "Hey, let's go to the bar and get drunk." Their words were not, now his wife's were. She said, "Just curse God and die." She's a wonderful woman. But his three friends, they actually used Bible doctrine to build in his soul. To build in his soul a stronghold of unbelievable depression, people. They used what we call doctrine. Chapter after chapter after chapter after chapter. That Job even says, "Why do you haunt me these 10 times? Each one of them just keep talking. Then another one come in. One would hit him with the right arm, with the right hand, and then the other one start talking. He'd hit him with the left hand, and then the counter punch from the third one. And then the first one came back and started beating again. And what were they beating him with? Doctrine. And it's killing the man. People, it's not, you can't just say doctrine's the solution. You can't just say the Bible's the solution. You can't just say, even the truth is the solution. Depends on how you see the truth. Depends on how you see the truth. One of the strongest strongholds in the soul is false doctrine built up. His three friends, those three friends, talked about God. That was their main discourse, people. Their view of God was their main discourse. They talked about righteousness and purity. And in chapter 42, what does God do? God comes to Job and says, "I'm angry with them, for they did not speak the truth about me." And yet I know preachers, one big TV man in the city, who uses messages by Job's three friends as a jumpboard of a lot of his teaching. And supports Satan's lie with the Bible. People, I can support Satan's lie with this book and do a good job at it. Probably because of what I see, I'd be better than they would. Because it's there. If I want to interpret the Bible that way, all I have to do is take Job's three friends, and man, I can build these strongholds. I can build Satan's lie and have you right where I want you so I can control you in the assembly. So God says, "I'm angry at them for they did not speak the truth about me." Yet they tried to slay Job with what? Their view of God. People are always going to control you with my view of God. The God was a God who demanded that they do for him. That they do something for God. It's hardly a preacher you're going to come across. It didn't say, you're going to have to do. And by doing here, I don't mean faith. Faith is not doing, because faith is what? It's receiving. You got an active doing, or you've got a passive receiving. By doing something for God, and it can be making him Lord, if you're talking about Salvation 1, making him Lord, walking it out, some psychological, mental process, repentance, this type of thing. For spiritual recovery, it can be a repentance or a confession or a sorrow or all these kinds of things that are all in the Bible. You don't ever want to get in a battle with these people. And those of you that may be listening to this tape that are depressed and stressed out, don't get into a Bible fight with somebody. Don't do that, please. Let me spare you that agony. Don't get the Bible out and have somebody tell you how rotten you are, how you're a loser. With the Bible. Depends on how you want to see the Bible. Depends on how you see and understand God. Most pastors' ministry is based on Satan's lie. Based on what? Based on Mount Sinai, not Mount Zion. Based on Mount Sinai, based on performance, moral righteousness, learning Bible doctrine, charismatic experience, serving God. Some form of performance, and big on the opinion of others. Very big. But the teaching, there's these strongholds of false doctrine in your soul. And they tear down the truth of God. Look what it says here. Look what we have in our passage. Every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. What's the view of God? I'm here to tell you that if we can kind of go out and finish out this passage now. next few weeks what we're going to do. I want you to understand something. We're going to put back the true knowledge of God. Put back then what is the real view of God. As far as the Bible is concerned, what's the knowledge of God about you? What's the knowledge of God about the flesh nature? Just remember as I close, God doesn't try. I want to use the word try. God doesn't take your flesh nature, continually being corrupted, deceitful above all else, incurably wounded or sick, full of evil, can you read my own writing? Full of evil or insane. God isn't going to try to make you a better person. Just relax. If you're experiencing stress, anxiety, and depression, God isn't going to make you a better person. What God is going to do, He's going to crucify this person. He's going to raise you up as a new person in Christ. And that's who we want to be. And that's when you're free of stress, anxiety, and depression. It'll be God's done for you. He isn't going to try to work through all of this stuff, make it all clean up and better and fix you up in a nice little suit, whitewashed tombstone. He's just chunking the whole thing, crucifying it, gone. And you're raised up a new being. And you want to be who you are in Christ and not let these strongholds keep pulling you back into what has been crucified. We'll continue this on some of these strongholds next week. Let's close in the word of prayer. What an awesome God you are, Heavenly Father. Last night in our study of Revelation, we saw the almightiness of you, the supremacy of you. If you can declare what is going to happen, and it is going to happen, and no one's going to stop it. And now you tell us what you can do inside of our own souls. Not with history. Oh, we love that, and what calmness and assurance and comfort we get, encouragement. But inside of our own soul, you declare what you do. You tear them down. You'll tear down these strongholds. We don't need to invest thousands of dollars. We don't need to do a lot of work. We need to walk by faith and trust you, and you'll do it. You will tear down the strongholds of our souls that have been built over a long period of time. You'll set us free. Set us free of depression. God, what an awesome God you are, Father. We praise you in your Son's precious name. Amen.